I think I might go with Jeremy and try to pick this up at TFCon this summer. I didn't have the Transformers Omega Supreme as a kid, but I did have one of the, like, I don't know if it's knockoff's the right word, or just, it was an alternate company that was like, you know, like the Galactic Man that Shockwave was. It was another company that produced the same figure. And I had one of those, and I don't know what happened to it. As a kid, I was not super careful with my toys. So I think
you didn't think about future collector opportunities. Played with your toys.
Like a sucker. I just played with my toys. Terrible. I know.
Jazz here. And I am so digging the Geekcast Radio Network.
Greetings, humans. This is Starscream. And you're listening to ToyCast. And if any of you call me a parts former, one more time!
Now, ToyCast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of ToyCast as we get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I'm, of course, TF2 and Mike, and today's featured guest has been on all things Transformers Origins, and we hope to have him back on in the future, but he is one-fifth, one-sixth of the Transmissions podcast team. It is Charles, a.k.a. Big C. Hello, sir.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be back.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are here to be talking all about toys and how you got started in toy collecting and everything like that. So jumping into it, what is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really hard. I remember Legos. Legos was a big thing for me even before Transformers. Like I remember playing with Legos really little, but I couldn't tell you the set. I had lots of Legos as a kid, but probably like the first set was just, you know, basic set of bricks, not Duplo. I wasn't that little, but the basic set of bricks that
the red, yellow, blue standard Lego bricks. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid? Was there anyone who was unsupportive?
I wouldn't say either way. I would say my parents were, like, they were supportive in the sense that, like, if I asked for stuff and, you know, it was within the realm of possibility, they would get it for me, and they didn't discourage me from playing with toys or anything, but they also didn't, like, go out of their way to feed my my Transformers obsession or any other obsession. I guess one time when I was about 8 years old, mm-hmm. I spent some time in the hospital because I had strep throat, encephalitis, and chicken pox all at the same time, and I think my parents were afraid that I wasn't going to make it out of the hospital. So like I asked for like the big Lego castle system when I came home from the hospital, and they got that for me, and then I was recovering putting that together. That was a very vivid memory for me, is because I was after encephalitis, your motor skills are hard to recover from, and I remember like part of my physical therapy was putting that castle together, and then I got better, and then was pretty happy after that.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. I remember being in the hospital at Christmas of 88. I was 8 years old and I ended up having a seizure at the time. Ooh. So yeah, So I was watching nothing but Transformers, the movie on VHS in the hospital, as well as When the Jetsons Met the Flintstones. So those were my two VHS selections that I always wanted to watch at the time. So What types of toys were your favorites to play with?
Well, I mean, I think of course Transformers was definitely up there. I mean, and that's kind of, I think if I can say like what I still play with today, it's Transformers and Legos kind of exclusively. And those were definitely the top two when I was a kid. And also there were a lot of, like, in the 80s, there were a lot of other building block toys that were not Legos that had different, like, I remember Constructs was a big thing it was like beams and joints that you put together and you could build different things. I liked a lot of the building toys and playing with all those different things. And I mean, of course I think there was Tinker Toys. That's an older thing that I kind of inherited, that was before, you know, the generation before me, but a lot of building toys I enjoyed.
Yeah. Other than Lego, like you said, Constructs, there was also, I remember building stuff with the Tonka trucks. I don't know if I was, I assume I was just using them as transportation, but like, I remember having a giant metal Tonka crane vehicle. Lincoln Logs. I always prefer Lincoln Logs over Legos sometimes. They were just a little bit cooler at the time because, you know, back in the 80s, folks, we didn't have all these Star Wars this and Death Star that and build the fleet that flew out Yavin
Now you had Space City and Castle. That was it.
Yep.
Nothing. Lego did not license anything back then.
No, they did not. Now they're a licensing magnet, pretty much. What were your favorite childhood toys that really stood out more than the others? So what are your, like, favorites, kind of, like, you would go to this more than anything else that you had?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Transformers. I think I remember just loving the mechanic of being able to turn your toys into your one toy turns into another toy. That's great. Mm-hmm. I had I think right the year after the movie came out that Christmas, I got a bunch of the movie Transformers. I got I had Ultra Magnus, I had Cyclonus and Scourge, Hot Rod, Cup and Blur, and Metroplex, and, you know, just having that, using Metroplex as kind of little base and having all these battles with the Autobots and Decepticons, I love that. Also Voltron, I had a Voltron set, the Lions, that was a really cool toy. That die-cast metal Voltron, I wish I still had that today.
And I wonder what that goes for right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, in the condition I left it in, it's probably wasn't worth too much.
But. Okay, well, you weren't exactly paying attention to secondary market value as a child, so you know, we kind of already said that before. But no, seriously, I wonder what that would go for today.
Yeah,
I'm really curious. Is that out in 84 or was that out? Yeah, it would have to be.
Probably around that. I definitely remember my Voltron was hanging out with my Transformers at the same time. So, like, you know, I had all my transforming toys hanging out together. But those Transformers and Legos, those were the two big ones for me. I mean, I did have some assorted action figures, a little bit of He-Man, a little bit of G.I. Joe, but a little bit of Star Wars, but never really got big on any of those action figure lines. It was really just the Transformers and Legos were the ones I asked for the most.
Absolutely awesome, awesome. So, do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
I don't care. I mean, it's fine. You can call them whatever. They're all three. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're dolls. It's fine. It's okay. They're dolls. It's okay. You can call them dolls. It's not a big deal. If you really get bent out of shape and you have to call them action figures, that's fine too. But they're dolls. It's okay. We know they're dolls.
The reason why I have that question is because I remember my grandparents and older people like them. So like their siblings who were the same age as they were at the time, just older adults, not my parents, but older adults. They would be like, "Oh, you're going to go home to play with your dolls. They're not dolls, Grandma." Like, you know, that whole stigma of whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Good guys or bad guys, which toys were your favorites to play with the most?
Good guys. Yeah, I liked being the hero and saving the day. Didn't fantasize about being the villain and taking over the world or anything like that.
Well, I mean, at this point, we're all villains, aren't we? Because we've lived long enough. Oh boy.
Yeah, well, I didn't die the hero, so I guess, yeah, I'm living long enough to be the villain, right?
Sorry, I just saw somebody sent me somebody reposted on Instagram the video of Rob Paulson and Kevin Conroy basically doing Commissioner Gordon and obviously Batman. May Batman rest in peace. Mm-hmm. But doing the Dark Knight lines, that scene, and it hurts more now than when it was really awesome when they did it the first time. But watching that now after Kevin has passed, it's like,
yeah,
holy fuck. Just hearing him, like, look, Bale is fine, whatever, but just hearing like, he's the goddamn Batman, and hearing him say that line is like, oh wow,
you either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah. So what, getting back on track here, what is or was your favorite toy vehicle and playset?
Well, I guess playset, I would have to say that Metroplex, the G1 Metroplex, was my, you know, Autobot City. All the Autobots mm-hmm. hung out there technically he's an action figure. I don't know if he qualifies as a playset, but he was my he was my base of operations there.
If it turns into a base, it's a playset. I mean, you know, if it says base on the packaging, like three modes, you know, which that always. Okay, I know technically they're not triple changers, but Metroplex has, well, technically only, I guess, city mode, battle. I don't know if you can count battle station mode as a third mode for being a triple. It's a little weird. But it always, like, kind of bummed me out that Trypticon did not have a robot mode. He just has his dinosaur mode.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the cons, cassette cons didn't have traditional robot modes. They were just animals and then cassettes. So,
well, yes, but that's two things though. Trypticon is only one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, technically he is too. He does have he does turn into a city. Mm-hmm. I'm losing my mind, folks.
But the other question was vehicle, right? So
yeah, it's toy vehicle. Yes.
I won't say a Transformer, but I'll say I had the Lego monorail set that had the little battery powered monorail.
Yep.
That was a really fun to play with, and you know, it ran around the track and everything. That was really cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Did you and your friends ever pretend with your toys that you had? By this, I mean, did you say, I'm going to be this toy and you can be that toy? Like, Daryl can be the piece of glass and you can be the Coke bottle top kind of thing.
Yeah, I had a so I had a next door neighbor who we like when we were real little, like I would say between the ages of 8 and 10, we'd bring all our Transformers out in the yard and have battles and stuff, and yeah, we'd each pick individual toys or the toys that we had, we'd fight them against each other for a little bit. So yeah, I'd say I probably grew out of that pretty quickly. Like I don't remember doing that too often after like past age 10, but yeah, for a little while.
Yeah, it's mostly like elementary school recess kind of stuff. Like, yeah, you know, when you were actually taking your toys to school, because they used to let us do that, folks. Now they just now kids today now, oh, I'm gonna bring my iPad. Kids today don't know what it's like to grow up without technology. I used to be able to hear the hum of the Apple IIe's in my class. Like, no. What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
So, I mean, I would say the most important thing for a toy is that it's just fun to play with. Does it have, you know, I mean, I guess a gimmick is something that it, you know, that makes it just fun to interact with. Is it durable? It's not going to just break on you if you play with it too much. I don't think, I mean, I think like faithfulness to whatever media you're watching it. That's, I mean, for a kid, as I think as a kid, your imagination kind of takes over. So it doesn't really have to be super faithful to the media or whatever representation. I mean, and you know, for the original Transformers, it was, you know, the toys came first, and the mm-hmm. cartoon models were, you know, were kind of simplifications of the toy designs. I mean, we didn't know that at the time, but you know, I think it was never something that we were like, oh, I mean, I think maybe Ratchet and Ironhide are the exception, where the Ratchet and Ironhide toys really don't look anything mm-hmm. like the cartoon mm-hmm. characters, but.
They don't even have heads.
Yeah.
They're headless. Give them pumpkins, people. Give them pumpkins. They're headless.
Yeah, but everyone else is, it's, you know, it's good enough. It's close enough. I mean, there are some that stand out. Like, you know, the Galvatron toy is all gray when he's purple in the cartoon. That's kind of weird.
Luckily, E-Hobby did a reissue of that. So
yeah.
Yeah, thank God. Like, yes, I understand the toys. We all know the toys came first, but thank God that wasn't the case with the 85 line, because if Astro Train didn't turn out the way he turned out, he probably wouldn't be one of my favorite G1 toys ever. And I don't count the black and white train repaint. That's not Astro Train. That's an imposter. It's purple, black, and whatever other color. Whatever the, again, by that time they were focusing a little bit on animation model.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
I think the 86 movie was really where things turned, because I think the movie designs came first, and then they designed mm-hmm. all new toys around there.
Yep, so. Most likely. So you go into the store, whatever store it is, whether it's a real toy store or whether it's a Walmart or whatever. What does toy packaging have to draw you in?
I mean, I really one thing I really liked, and I think, I mean, this is not something that was widespread in all the toys, but G.I. Joe and Transformers in particular did this, is that they had the little, you know, the little description of the character on the back of the box. Like G.I. Joe was like a, you know, like a dossier file, for military file, and then Transformers, yep. you had the tech specs. And that's the one thing, like giving you a little snippet of the whatever this toy is supposed to be and the character it is. I look for that. But beyond, I mean, that's that, I think probably the first thing is, you know, is there something that hooks you into what it can do? Like what's special about it? What can, like, how can you play with it? Does it immediately show you like what's fun you can do with it and play with it on the box? Like, I think the example of Transformers, like the original Transformers, they came packaged in vehicle mode, and then you see a picture of the robot mode on the box. So you immediately know this turns into this. So I get, you know, the first thing is, oh, how I need to figure out how to get it to turn into the cool robot mode from the kind of, you know, the kind of plain vehicle mode. So I think that's a nice little hook. But yeah, if you've got the whatever the play pattern is and whatever it's going to do to keep you interested, I think that needs to be front and center.
Absolutely. The sad thing is toy packaging nowadays is kind of a double-edged sword, because we're either jaded or excited the fact that they come packaged in robot mode. We don't have to do any work anymore. We don't have to transform these things anymore. They're already in, you already did it for us. You package it in robot. Okay, that's what we want. We want them in robot mode. That's what they're going to be. Done. toy companies. We'll get to that later. Do you open your toys or do you leave them packaged? If you keep toys packaged, do you have any specific criteria for that?
So In theory, I would like to open my toys, but now I don't have a lot of time, and I think a lot of times my eyes are bigger than my stomach, and that sometimes I'll get some toys, but I'll say, oh, I'm definitely gonna, you know, open this up and look at it and play with it, but then it gets put on the back burner, and then it just winds up staying in package. So I have a lot of toys still in package, but that's just by accident, not by design. So.
That's it, folks. Trips to the stores is canceled. Bye. Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I guess the other part of that answer probably could be like, oh, that's why I buy two, like one to open, one to, you know, one to leave in. Because I know a lot of us used to, and some of us probably still do that.
Yeah, I can't justify that anymore. No. Not enough space for that. Or money.
No. Nope. Yeah, that's true too, yeah. Just do what I did. Switch to Funko. Take them in, leave them out. Doesn't matter. You don't need to worry about whatever. If as a kid or an adult, you only were allowed, and I already know the answer to this, but you are only allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which one would you choose and why?
Yeah, that's hands down, it's Transformers. I mean, that's not even a question. And
Lego, who?
Yeah.
Poo?
Yeah, I mean, Transformers it's just been something that's stuck with me since the 80s. I mean, in 1984, I was 8 years old. It grabbed me, it hooked me. I fell in love with the media, the cartoon, and the comic books, as in addition to the toys. I, you know, even throughout, you know, becoming a teenager to a young adult, I still was, you know, hanging, like I wasn't buying all the toys, but I was still paying attention to what was going on with the franchise. I stuck with Beast Wars. I went through every iteration of Transformers, you know, if not watching everything, at least paying attention and seeing what was going on. And yeah, it's something that's my home franchise, and yeah, never give it up.
Never give up, never surrender. As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
I prefer the modern toys just because I like to see the reimagining of different characters and figures and seeing all the articulation. I mean, I guess, you know, it's also, there's a bit of an inflection point, because like I can say modern toys like 10 years ago, like now things are on a, you know, the hollowness and the kind of thinness of the plastic is getting a little bit, you know, further out, but there are still some bright spots in newer toys. But I still prefer, like, you know, starting with that, the modern, you know, early 2000s to now, classics lines of Transformers that are reimagining all the characters, but having really nice articulation and engineering, that where the toys represent the characters a lot better, but still have great transformations and playability.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've learned that I apparently need to rework question 14 because everyone I've had on this show, we all have dirty minds. Oh boy. So what is one Transformers toy you can always play with? Now, if you take out the Transformers part of that, use your imagination. And yeah, so what is one Transformers toy you can always play with?
I would probably say that the G1 Hot Rod. Hot Rod was one I got as a, like, yeah, 10. I got it for my birthday, 10 years old, and that was like about 6 months before the movie came out. So, I didn't know what this character was or where it fit in until I saw the movie a few months later. But that was a nice toy. Like it looked really cool and slick, a little bit futuristic car. The transformation was nice. The kind of head and face sculpt were really evocative. Like, you know, those 86 movie toys all had really, well-designed faces, contrast that to the early G1, like 84, 85 characters, where since they were all from Diaclone toys, their faces and personalities were not really well represented, but the 86 movie toys were really trying to let you know these are real characters. So Hot Rod had that face with the blue eyes. You know, it was always something I noticed in the cartoons. Like, the Autobots all have blue eyes, the Decepticons have red eyes, but then all the toys had yellow eyes. I was like, why? What's going on here? And then that Hot Rod had those blue eyes, and I was like, oh, this is a real Autobot here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so weird. Autobots had blue eyes, Decepticons had red eyes. The Autobots fire orange lasers and the Decepticons fire purple lasers. It's a rainbow of colors, everybody. Oh, boy. Even though there are always toy lines that people never purchase, are there any that you specifically and purposefully avoid? This can be a toy line, a character, etc.
I wouldn't say there's anything I purposefully avoid. I mean, there's plenty of things that are just not for me in turn. Like, I mean, you know, you talk about Funko Pops a lot. I guess I would say I tend to avoid those just because I kind of avoid like the kind of statue display toys that are not really toys. They're just there to display. So I guess if I'm getting a toy, I want something that I can manipulate and do something with rather than it has to be more than just something I'm going to put on a shelf and look at.
Well, I can't wait to hear more of when I ask you question 22, because that's going to be interesting. Oh boy. Are there any toys in the past or currently that you wish you had not bought them? Are there any toys that you may have sold that you regret letting them go?
I do. I guess once I bought a. So there was a BotCon it was FunPub exclusive set where they were repaints of a legend sized Shockwave, but they were repurposed as Reflector.
Yes.
And you know, I bought three of them to put them together and make a Reflect, because I thought there'd never be a modern Reflector. Of course, now we've got tons of Reflectors you can find in the War for Cybertron line, and which I did pick up that War for Cybertron Reflector. Nice. Yeah, I mean, this was before that. I thought this was going to be my one shot to have a Reflector, since I didn't get the G1 Reflector back in the day. And I guess they're okay Shockwaves, but they're not good Reflectors. So,
no, apparently not.
Yeah. So I do definitely regret buying those, because they did not look good, and I think if I still have them, I have no use for them. I should probably get rid of them.
Check the values. See what the financial market says. Is you bought them low? Maybe it's time to sell them high.
Maybe.
Who knows? You never know.
I do regret not keeping my older toys back in the 80s, keeping them in better condition. There were a lot of G1 toys I had that I just don't have anymore. I don't think I actively got rid of them or sold them, but I just, you know, they got put up in the attic somewhere, or they got broken, or they were given away to family, or, you know, hand-me-downs to my brother or whatever. And they're just gone now, and I, you know, I can't get them back. And so, you know, I do regret not keeping better track of my old G1 toys.
Well, you can get them back, but again, money comes into play with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not willing to spend the money to get them back.
Yeah. No, 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 no. Oh boy. How large or small is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
They are, my toy collection is pretty modest. I wouldn't say I have a huge, like, I think if you've seen the, like, Daryl's room, that's massive. I have nowhere I can not compete with that at all. They're relegated to one room, and I have a man cave in the basement of my house, but it's mostly taken up by the, you know, by the entertainment center and the TV and the, like, the, you know, video game stuff and everything. But I do have a couple of, I have a Detolf of Transformers stuff, and then some boxes of toys I still have to open. So it's pretty modest.
There's a box of Power Core Combiners in the corner, folks. He hasn't opened them yet. Hey, maybe you can get some money for those. Who knows? Oh, boy. How do you keep track of your collection if you do?
I don't really keep track of them. I buy what I like and like I play with them and put them on the shelf. And I don't have them cataloged or inventoried or anything like that. So I guess I'm a bad toy collector in that sense.
Oh boy. Just go to the beginning of the podcast, folks. You'll hear how terrible it is to play with toys. You know, just is. It's just the way it is. Like, oh my God, you must keep these in a sealed, you know, Iron Man case or something or other. So you mentioned earlier that you have one or maybe a couple of Detolfs, but other than that, how do you display your toys?
I have them like in this room, just sitting on different shelves in the Detolf, on top of the Detolf. I did buy the the giant HasLab Unicron, so that's standing there in robot mode on top of one of my filing cabinets. I have a couple on my my desk at work, so you know, just hanging out there. Don't even though I don't go into the office that much these days, but they're still there.
Oh boy. Unicron. Oh boy. I saw, I guess somebody just got it or something. They were posting on Twitter, and I don't want to call the person out or anything, but they were posting on Twitter, you have to transform it on the stand. And I'm like, really? That's so weird. And I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't waste $600. I just wasted $40 for the Funko Pop version, because thankfully with Funko Pops for now, they are all based on toy design. So versus animation model. So everybody is safe. The wife, the kids, the whatever, the pets, everybody's safe. But the house is on fire. If you could only keep one toy from your entire collection, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's hard. Boy. Man, I guess I'd You know what? One toy that I got it about 10 years ago, but it was a toy that was really well done. I mean, I know this is a weird choice, but that the Thrilling 30 Cosmos that came out about 10 years ago. That was a really fun toy to just transform that over and over again, play with it. It was just a really fun toy to play with, and I know that's a weird choice, but I think I would take that. I know, yeah, I know people are screaming at me. I'm letting my $600 Unicron burn, but I think that's the toy I would probably have the most fun with.
I mean, at least Cosmos is, you know, small enough that you could essentially put it in your pocket or whatever, whereas Unicron, you'd have to, like, you know, go running out of the house carrying this giant ball of flame. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And at least with Thrilling 30 Cosmos, at least you're able to find it, even though it is on secondary market now. At least it's not whatever that debacle was with the new one. Like, oh my God, I can't find this toy. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. I know. I saw that at it was at TFCon Chicago. People were selling it for like $80 and $90, and
oh,
like, no thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. Nuh-uh. Nope. All right, folks, we're gonna go to a quick ad break. We're gonna come back to continue the show after this.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
We are back here on ToyCast with Big C from the Transmissions Podcast. On the flip side to question 20, number 21 is, here's the Toy Box Challenge you get, and I assume this is inches. I don't know. I don't mind using Neanderthal measurements, unlike certain Canadians. But here's the Toy Box Challenge. You get one 18 by 18 by 18 box. The only toys you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm trying to imagine those dimensions. I can probably pack a few Transformers in there. I can put that Cosmos. I would put that that Origin Bumblebee. That's another toy I thought was really cool. Just recently came out. Those Back to the Future and Ghostbusters Transformers that had Gigawatt and Ectotron.
Yep,
fit in there. I'd probably put that Combiner Wars Superion. That was a figure I really liked and still sitting in my shelf there. The Studio Series Hot Rod, that's a new one that just came out a couple years ago, I guess. It was a really nice hot rod.
Probably the best one we've ever gotten outside of the original.
Yeah, I would say that. That Lego, I just got that Lego Optimus Prime. I'd put that in there. That was combined. It was the best of both worlds, combined level Lego and Transformers there.
Transformers, yep.
Yeah. I'd probably put an MPO one, MP, no, MP10, a Masterpiece 10 Optimus Prime there. Probably just the cab, the trailer might not fit. Or maybe it'll fit. If it can, I'll try to jam it in there. Let's see. Hopefully it'll fit in there. My Combiner Wars Devastator, I'd probably have to put it in the individual Constructicons to get it to fit.
Oh, yeah. Any of the combiners, you're going to have to uncombine them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just.
Yeah. A classic Starscream. I think that was that was kind of the best Starscream you had for a while. And I guess the recent Starscreams are good too. The ones that are they're based on pretty much based on that design, but updated.
Yeah. I'm a sadist. If I had them, I would probably just take the other two Seekers and Ghost Starscream.
Boy. Hopefully the clear plastic holds up and everything.
Yeah, hopefully. You think they'd be able to master that by now, but...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else?
I'd probably want to put a Soundwave and all his cassettes in there too. Those are always fun. The Thrilling 30 Springer, that was a really good triple changer toy.
Yeah.
I just got a G-Axis, a G2, G2 Comics G-Axis. I really like that. And then the Tarn, I ordered the Tarn. I don't have it yet, but hopefully it's coming soon. I think that's I love Tarn from the comics, the IDW comics, and I think I never thought he'd get a release in the main line, the Hasbro main line. So,
yeah, it's funny that he, so obviously he comes from the IDW comics, and then he shows up in Cyberverse of all mm-hmm. places, and now here we are X number of years later after Cyberverse is over and done with. And we have a Tarn, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. You've good.
Yep. No, as I say, I think that's all I can think of.
All right. Well, that's going to be one hell of a heavy box. Good luck with that. Good thing the house isn't on fire. So you alluded to it earlier, it's just not your thing, but are you a Funko fan?
Sadly not. I don't begrudge anybody their Funko Pop fun, but I can't get past the dead eyes on the Funko Pops. The eyes, they creep me out. The Transformers Funko Pops are kind of the only ones that I'm okay with, because their eye, they have the bright blue or red eyes to match the robots. But all the like humanoid Funko Pops don't look right to me.
I don't know. I like that they're expanding on the eye colors more with various characters and things like that. Like, it's not always just black soulless eyes. And it depends on the character design. I love the Shockwave. The Shockwave is great.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the eye was red, but I understand why it's not, because hello, it's the G1 version. And the funny thing is, and I love that they did this, I first noticed this years ago with Mighty Mugs, when Mighty Mugs were a thing, because essentially Funko Pops are just Mighty Mugs in the modern day, sort of. They, in the Mighty Mug Shockwave, he has a actual wire, a black corded thing for his gun arm. Mm-hmm. Same thing on the Funko Pop. It's there as well. And I was like, oh, that's a cool, like, it's just a little detail, but it's nice that they're, you know, making it sort of accurate to the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Mrs. Shelton, turn your podcast off, because what was the most money you spent on a toy?
Yeah, I think it's no question that HasLab Unicron, the $600 Unicron.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I talked it over with my wife before I did it. Well, she was okay with it, but it was still, yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Oh boy. Yeah. I think, the most I spent was $800, and that was for 2008's BotCon full set, everything.
Oh, wow.
Sadly, you can't do that nowadays anymore. Considering Shattered Glass Rodimus is being asked for like $1,300 on eBay. Ooh. And I'm like, how and why? Like, I understand it's a BotCon exclusive. I understand that. It is what it is. But come on. Like back in the day, if I wanted just him and not just the whole set, I think he was going for $400 back in 2008. But that was when he was like brand, like the Monday after the convention kind of thing at the time. And as I was looking for various things related to Shattered Glass Rodimus, like somebody was trying to sell the 2008, just the box with the styrofoam for $100. And I'm like, wait, what? Seriously? You're selling the box only for $100. Are you nuts? On the flip side, what was the cheapest toy you bought, or what was the best deal you ever got for a figure that may have been worth quite a bit more than you paid?
Oh,
I don't. Yeah, I haven't found a lot of like really great deals, but I guess let's see. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Well, I mean, just recently I got the. The Creatures Collide 4-pack. It was a Target exclusive. It had Goldbug, Ransack, Scorponok, and like a Waspinator repaid. I forget its name, but it was retailing for like $70. And just before Christmas last year, they had a clearance for half off, like $35. So. And I really just wanted the Bumblebee the gold. I just wanted the gold bug. So, you know, I at $70, I was willing to pay that for just the gold bug. But I did pay the $35. But I can, you know, the other three figures, I figure I can either sell them or give them away or play with them. And, you know, it's worth it for getting that gold bug. Yep. I guess that's not a great deal, but it's it made it reasonable.
Yeah, I think other than obviously people giving me things or whatever, you know, that doesn't count because that's not me getting a deal. I think the best deal I got on a Funko Pop was Lil Sweet from Diet Dr. Pepper. They were running a promotion, and if you bought 3 Diet Dr. Pepper 20-ounce bottles, you had 3 codes, you write those down. It was the 80s all over again. It was like, rip those off, take a picture of them, send it to us, blah, blah, blah. In 4 to 6 weeks, you'll get your free Justin Guarini Lil Sweet Funko Pop. Oh, okay, cool.
Still with the dead eyes, though.
But it's freaking cool because I didn't realize this until like maybe a month after that ad campaign started. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that American Idol's first runner-up, Justin? It's Justin freaking Guarini. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Nice folding. You deserve a raise.
Thank you.
Real sweet spinning at the spin cycle.
You do deserve a raise in the form of a sweet Diet Dr. Pepper.
Ooh, sip it.
That is sweet.
These are my delicates. Tumble dry. Extra heat.
I'll take these. He just folds.
Isn't she great?
How do you guys know?
Real sweet going back in its spin cycle.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's the sweet one.
Yeah, he disappears into that little sweet role. You don't tell it's him.
Not. I think it was like one of the notes, like one of the little sing-song notes he did not like. It was one of those notes where I was like, hey, wait a minute. I know that voice. So yeah. What modern and or vintage toy lines are you collecting right now? Is it just Transformers and Lego?
Pretty much. I mean, it's and Lego I'm picking and choosing. Like I'm not going crazy on the Legos just because that can get real bad real fast, but I did I did get the Lego Optimus Prime. I also one of my favorite video games is Horizon Zero Dawn, so I picked up the Horizon Zero Dawn Lego set. It was the tall neck, which is like a giant robot giraffe. And I do have I have an older Ecto-1 with like it's the one with all the 4 Ghostbusters as minifigures. So it's not the recent like bigger Ecto-1. It's one that's a little bit smaller, but it has the 4 Ghostbusters as minifigures. So And I still have that in the box. So I intended to put it together, but I never got around to putting it together. So it's still sitting in the box. That's another one that I accidentally kept in the box. And now it's kind of like, I still want to crack it open and put it together.
You know, it's a good thing we're toy collectors, folks, because when we eventually retire from whatever jobs we have, we'll have plenty of time to open all the toys we didn't open when we were working.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Oh, come on now. Just get your little Darth helmet on and, you know, pew, pew, pew.
I just get the feeling that's going to be like you're one day away from retirement. Yeah, I'm just about to open all my toys, and then you keel over, and then it's
it. Oh, stop it! That's no. Do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you visit these places, do you have a typical methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're searching for? Do you do – like what is your convention approach?
So, I do mostly just the Transformers convention. So TFCon, we go – and we – like everyone on Transmissions, we kind of – That's where we meet up in person. That's, you know, a couple times a year. So just, you know, just this year, or just, I guess, last year in 2022, I went to TFCon in Toronto in the summer, and then TFCon Chicago in October. And we have, there's a local show. I'm in the Pittsburgh area. There's a local show called Steel City Con, and that's it's a comic book and other stuff show. So it's like they've got a good mix, and then they have celebrity guests and stuff. I don't go to that one super regularly, but I've been to it a few times. It's like 10 minutes from my house, so it's pretty easy to go to. but in general, I don't have like a set strategy. Like my only goal is to not get swindled at a toy show. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna buy stuff that's on the store shelves right now unless like I never see it and it's not above retail value. Like I will tend to look for things that are obscure or something that I couldn't get otherwise, or things that, you know, like there's a lot of stuff you can order online, but I tend like just to keep my toy collecting under control, I don't order a lot of stuff online. But I say, you know, if I'm to a special occasion, I'm going to the toy show, I bring a set amount of money and I say, well, there's a couple of things that I really thought was interesting, but you can only get them online. So if I see it here, I might pick it up. So that's the convention exception is when you, you know, for things that you don't get online. So that's usually what looking for things that I can't get anywhere else. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, like technically you can get most G1 classic stuff online, but you know, you're not going to the convention or the toy shows to buy what's in the stores now. You're looking for a somewhat good deal on something that's 40 something year old. Oh God, we're a year away from 40 years.
Yeah.
Oh God. The A-Team just turned 40 the other day. Oh, my God. I love it when a plan comes together.
I love when a plan comes together.
What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, for instance, say, our parents' generation?
I think we were all brainwashed as kids in the 80s. cynically, it was the deregulation of toys where you could basically have a bunch of media that were half hour commercials for the toys. And they were originally just designed to get kids and, you know, get kids hooked on them and sell them the toys. But they did actually, I mean, they're not Shakespeare, but they did put some reasonable effort into making the toys, the cartoons, interesting and fun and appealing. And yeah, I mean, you hit the kid at the right age at the right time and they're hooked, and yeah, it it holds a special place in their heart, and 20, 30 years later, it still comes back to them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, blame Reagan and deregulation you know, media and everything, and you get, and we're all kind of, you know, a little bit brainwashed.
Yeah, pretty much, but we loved it so much, though. Like, we didn't mind being brainwashed at the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not giving it up. I still love the Transformers.
Yep.
Knowing that you're brainwashed doesn't necessarily mean you can shake it off.
Nope. Not really. What is your motivation for purchasing toys to display, play, fiddle? Describe your collecting style. Are you a completionist, a storyteller, cherry picker, or otherwise?
I'd say I'm probably a cherry picker. I am really focused. Like, for Transformers, for me in general, the media is what keeps me tied to the franchise. Like, you know, I always loved the, as I said, I always loved the cartoons and the comics as a kid. I've loved what, like, some of the artists and writers for the comics in particular did with the storytelling in the Transformers. I've always said that Transformer storytelling has been at its peak in the iterations of comics over the years, and that includes Marvel with Simon Furman and IDW with folks like James Roberts, John Barber, Margaret Scott, and, you know, all the artists throughout the generations back in the 80s. Jeff Senior and Andrew Wildman were big for me. Jose Delbo. In the modern day, folks like Alex Milne, Andrew Griffith, Casey Collar, Guido Guidi, all these, you know, all these things are what has kept me invested in the franchise. And when I collect, you know, I want to see the toys that I want to see the representation of those, like those original characters that get introduced in the comics that don't necessarily have a toy origin. I always love to see those characters getting their due. So, you know, like I mentioned, the G-Axis, the G2 character from the Marvel G2 comics, who never had a toy. He wasn't a toy design. He was designed for the comics. And just recently got a toy, very faithful to that design, which I immediately had to get. Tarn, we're getting coming soon. And yeah, I've already pre-ordered that. So looking forward to that. But yeah, but I'm definitely not a completionist. I don't have the space, capacity, time, or inclination to try and complete lines of things. So I like to pick and choose what I want. I would like to be a fiddler. Like, I'd like to be able to take them out and play with each one of them. And I am kind of bewildered with the amount of things that I still have that are still in boxes that I haven't gotten a chance to open and play around with. I still have, those are still my goals to get to them eventually.
Yep. A buddy of mine used to be on the show. I mean, he's still on the show every now and then, but Peacock Row Michael, when he and I first started out doing ToyCast back in the day, I would always joke with him. I'm like, did you open any of the toys in your closet today? Nope. They're still unopened, because he used to just go to Target and just find these amazing, amazing thing. It's like, okay, well, I don't know why you haven't opened any of those yet. All right. Have you ever purchased a toy for a child with the ulterior motive of playing with it yourself?
Plead the fifth. Yeah, the answer is yes. My younger son, who is now, he's now 16, so he's well past the toy playing time, but he was right at the age when the original War for Cybertron, that was the, you know, the video game War for Cybertron that came out in the early 2010s.
It's a good one.
Yeah. and they were putting out the toys that were tying into that video game, and they had a three pack that was Bumblebee, Optimus Prime, and Megatron. And I bought that for him for his birthday, but, you know, with the thought that maybe we can play with this together. there's three toys, you know. We can have this is something fun we can do together. And he's long since grown past it, but they're still. I mean, I didn't migrate them back down to my collection, but they're I still fiddle with them from time to time.
He didn't do it yet, folks. Oh boy. Have you ever purchased a vintage toy for a child because you thought it would be fun for them based on your own preferences?
This is something that I try to do whenever I go to a convention. I try to pick out something that I think my kids will enjoy. And I've a couple of times I just bought them a couple of mini bots, like G1 mini bots, because you can find those pretty cheap. And I thought, it'd be something they'd be interested in. But my kids are, I think, my kids are what, Generation Z, Zennials, whatever you call them.
I stop at X, basically. There are no more generations. The only generations that matter are Autobot, Decepticon, or Terracon at this point. Those are the generations.
But my kids are they grew pretty quickly out of toys, and my older ones are already teenagers. My youngest one is 11, so she's on the path to being a teenager right now. So they're all pretty firmly focused on the digital stuff and tablets and phones and apps and stuff. And no one really has time for physical toys anymore. But I tried to get them a couple of like mini bots, MicroMasters. I thought those would be fun for them to fiddle around with. I bought some Kabaya kits. Like I bought them each a Kabaya kit. So they could put it together, that's the fun. It's a transformer, but it's also a little like plastic model kit. It doesn't require any glue or tape or anything to put them together. So, they enjoyed that for a little bit, but I think nothing's sticking.
Oh boy. Yeah. I'm sure other people on other podcasts have said this, but that's what NFT stands for. No fucking toys for you. God. Yeah. Do you do any toy modifications or customs, painting, building, build dioramas, etc.?
Nah, not really. I think the most I do is I've gotten a few label sets from Toy Hacks, toyhacks.com, where they design really cool labels. I'd put those on some toys, but even that, that's a rare thing for me. I usually just keep them the way they came.
Yeah. Where you can get 15% off your entire order with coupon code.
It's your show. I'm not going to bring my plug into your show.
I don't have a stake in this. I'm not making or losing money, so I'm just having fun with the discussion. So, it's up to you. I don't even remember the code is. I just remember the 15% off the entire order and cannot be combined with any other offer. That's what I remember.
TM1234. Very easy. TM1234. Oh, yeah. That's the code. Toyhacks.com.
I think I need to go back to Sesame Street. Oh, God.
This is getting expensive.
Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
I think they should find a way to mix both. I mean, I don't think they need to focus on the adult market. I think they should just focus on making the toys fun. I appreciate like with Transformers, they have different lines geared towards the legacy line geared towards quote unquote adults, but those are still toys that kids can play with. It's not like anything that wouldn't appeal to a kid. I think, I mean, I would say the larger, like their larger media strategy, I think they should tie everything in together. Like, I mean, it seems weird to me that their legacy line has kind of like no media presence, whereas they're, you know, they're doing, of course, they've got the new movie coming out, The Rise of the Beasts, and they've got the Earthspark, the new show, but the legacy right. has like no media behind it. And I think if you want to attract younger kids, you need to have some, I mean, I guess when perpetuating the brainwashing, you need to have some media there to attract the younger kids if you want them interested in it.
Well, yeah, you need to have the media there, and you need to, I don't know. I see, like, on the Transformers official Instagram specifically is where I see this, but I'll go through their stories and I'll see what they're posting. And obviously half of it is marketing because they're, you know, trying to have us and kids and whatever else buy toys. But like everything in their stories is parents swipe up now to get this for your kids. Mm. I don't know any, I'm not a parent, but I don't know any parents in my friend group that would buy Tarn for their child. Now I'm not saying that they put that on the Tarn slide. I'm saying that some of the, like, just like some of the ones that are specifically aimed at us at mm-hmm. the collector market, where it's like, okay, sure, you can have the not what it, legacy hot the hot rod you just mentioned.
Studio, you know, series.
Yeah, there you go, Studio series. My brain's going between generations, legacy. Yeah. So Studio Series 86 Hot Rod. Yeah, sure. You can buy that for a kid because you can teach them about the awesomeness that is Hot Rod and all of that. But I don't know. Some of it's like, I don't know if I want a kid owning certain toys because that just doesn't seem like it should be for a child, but that's just me. And yeah. Again, I'm childless, so I don't know shit when it comes to raising children.
I mean, I have a problem with is having like the, when I see the, like the, and the, I mean, I don't, I, it's too early to say anything about the Earthspark line, but the Cyberverse line in particular was egregious in the sense that you had like, you'd have the same character in multiple versions because you'd have so many like different versions of the same character over and over. Like you have this very super simple, very simple, then kind of reasonable, and then like a giant version that kind of didn't make sense either. So it's kind of like, can we have like a, can we unify the line a little bit and just like, I think what kids would like is to have the toy like represent, like at least be somewhat recognizable to, as to what they see on the show. And it seems weird to have like, I mean, I understand if you want to make, you want to have toys for very, very little kids, you know, maybe you want to have a version for that. But again, like even with like, if you go back to the like older Transformers lines, they didn't have multiple iterations of the same character. They just had like smaller characters. Those were the toys that could be for younger kids, and then the bigger characters were the toys for, you know, for older kids. And it just seems weird to have like a really tiny like brick Optimus Prime and then like a very nicely well articulated Optimus Prime, but with the same aesthetic. And it's, and I don't know, it's
just, and I don't think they did this. Yeah. And I don't think they did this. But again, another one example I can think of is, here it is, folks. After nearly 40 years, we finally have an auto-converting Optimus Prime. Parents, swipe up now to buy RoboSense transforming Optimus Prime. Like, nah, like I said, I don't think they did that, but the RoboSense Optimus Prime is an example of something I would never buy a child.
Yeah, definitely.
That just, no. And from what I saw with Thu Adams's videos, that thing takes up a lot of space, so it needs a lot of room to move. And to, so if you live in a glass house, you might not want to buy it.
I mean, the thing that I was surprised about, I watched Thu's video too. The thing that surprised me when he was fiddling with it is it can't, like, it just can't stand there turned off. Like, it has to be actively on, like, all the servos have to be running, or it can't hold its own weight up. It has to, like, always be on and standing up.
For a toy, and I'm specifically talking about the big one. I'm not talking about the $300 cheaper one, the small one. I'm talking about the original one that they, the one that that idiot Kevin Smith and his buddy showed off. That one, the one that's like $1,000 or more. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that that thing needs to be taking up all the power in the world just to hold up its own weight for $1,000? Hell no.
Stan sold separately.
So is the damn trailer. That's another.
The trailer's as much as the figure.
I know. Like, and really, honestly, I think when I first saw that, I thought it was cool. And then I saw a couple of reviews, and then I saw, like we mentioned, Thu's review, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's right. You shouldn't be buying this unless you live in a 10,000 square foot mansion. Like, because again, it needs room to move. And if you don't, if you're, recording a podcast for 9.5, almost 10 years or longer in my case, out of a closet, which I'm not recording out of a closet, but it's that money could go to 1,000 other things, even toys, better toys that you can actually transform yourself. That was the other, don't get me wrong. I think it's, and I know I'm on, I know it's supposed to be your episode and I'm on a soapbox here, but it's just, my brain is, I feel like a fried egg over here. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
Not really. I mean, they kind of just migrated up to the attic or got, given to my brother's he's like 13 years younger than me. So when I was off at college, he came around right for the Beast Wars stuff. So he was, but he played with my old Transformers. So nothing. My parents never actually sold or gave away anything. One thing that did happen though was my G1 Scourge. I let my brother play with my G1 toys, because I was in college. I was like, it's fine,
right?
Let him play with them. And my son, my brother was playing with my G1 Scourge, and he asked my dad to help him transform it. And my dad actually snapped one of the wings of the Scourge. So that was, so that hurt a little bit, but it was fine. It was okay.
Well, I know what clip I'm putting in right here.
That plasma energy is lethal. It nearly killed me.
And I did get the Studio Series Scourge because I really love yes. G1 Scourge.
Yeah, Studio Series Scourge is amazing. Do you feel like you're coming to an end of your active collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you? Was there ever a moment when you were completely done with toys altogether?
Not yet. I'm trying to get into a mode where if I get new stuff, I get rid of some old stuff, because I have finite space, so I'm not trying to continually increase my collection perpetually. So I am purging some older stuff or stuff I'm no longer interested in, but still buying new stuff. And I mean, they still make cool stuff. I mean, it's hard to give it up. There's still lots of cool, interesting stuff. Plus, I think with the Transmissions podcast, since we have a weekly segment where we have to show off what we got at the store, there's a little bit of pressure that you have to have something every week to show off. So, you know, that keeps me. But you know, I even then, it's not. I usually can't compete with what Daryl's showing off or bringing to the table. But I try to at least have, you know, one new thing, even if it's little or just a comic book or something every week. So, yeah. So that keeps me going.
there's no keeping up with that crazy Canuck. It's not worth the time or stress. Oh boy. Oh, Daryl. Watch Beast Wars, damn it. What is something that does not have a toy of it you'd love to have in toy form?
So that's hard. It's hard now because there are a lot of things that I would have said they've already gotten toys or are getting toys. Mm-hmm. But one thing, I guess, that, I mean, he has kind of technically already had a toy, but it's not really him. I guess from the Marvel Comics Scrounge, he was a little round wheel that was a Blaster's sidekick on Cybertron. He did get, like, he was that Thrilling 30 Cosmos was repainted yellow as Scrounge, and he was packed in with the Combiner Wars Technobots. But it was just nice. It was just a repaint of Cosmos, so it's not, I don't count that as really Scrounge. So I would like to see a real proper Scrounge.
That would be cool.
And what is a toy that you magic fingers, his audio and video recording fingers.
That sounds all kinds of kinky and wrong. What is a toy that you'd love to have scaled up and functional for the real world?
Oh. I think I got to go with the the most popular piece in the franchise. I want an Optimus Prime. I want a real tractor trailer Optimus Prime that can turn into a robot and, you know, play basketball, go for a layoff, and hang out with them.
You're just cementing to me the reason why he is the worst leader in Autobot history.
Well, you like basketball. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, as long as you're not doing it while the Decepticons are attacking, idiot. Maybe we should just cut his arm off and put it on a building or something. Oh, boy. Optimus Prime needs a Matrix to tell him how to lead. Needs an old dead guy in his head to tell him the right thing to do. Jesus. And I know all Autobot leaders have it, but still. Oh, boy. How has your wife dealt with your collection?
She's actually been pretty supportive. She doesn't share my passion, which is fine, but she allows it, and I mean, she doesn't actively encourage it, but she does actively try to find things that she thinks I'll like, and that she's, you know, and she has gone above and beyond to, like, find different interesting things to add to my collection, not necessarily just toys, but like artwork from different artists. She bought me, like, for Christmas one year, she bought me the 25th anniversary Optimus Prime that has it's packed in with the DVD of the like the More Than Meets the Eye and the issue one comic. And I was looking at, and, you know, I never had a G1 Optimus Prime, so I was about to, like, open it and play with it, because I never like owned my own G1 Optimus Prime. I never had that one. I had the Power Master Optimus Prime as a kid, but never the first original 84 Optimus Prime. And, like, I remember this because it was like on Christmas Day. I was looking. I was like, "Oh, thank you. This is really nice." And she's like, "Don't open it. It's a collect. You could have it as a collector's item. You can save it." And I was like, "Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't open it." And then years later, I went to TFCon, and Peter Cullen was the guest at TFCon, and I had him sign that boxed 25th anniversary Optimus Prime, mm-hmm. and it's in my DTOF now. It's still unopened, signed, and now has Peter Cullen's signature, so I definitely can't open it now. So, yeah.
Yeah, your wife has done some awesome things for you. That's not the story I thought you were going to tell. When you said, oh, and it's not just toys that she's gotten me, I'm like, uh-huh, I know exactly where you're going with this. And you want to tell the Victor Caroli story?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So she, Victor Caroli, who is the narrator on the G1 Transformers cartoon. And the funny thing was she did research on which people we had actually interviewed. So like she, mm-hmm. you know, she was looking specifically for someone from the G1 series that we had not talked to yet. So, you know, we had already on the podcast, we had already talked to people like Dan Gilvezan or Greg Berger. Mm-hmm. And she specifically said, oh, Victor Caroli, the narrator here, and found him on Cameo and got him to record a birthday greeting for me. And so, yeah, I still have the video for that. I showed it on Transmissions. Yeah, it's something I'll have forever, treasured forever. And him, you know, immediate saluting. He did his narrator voice where he said, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just awesome. And having him talk directly to me was really great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But yeah, I mean, and that's just one of many things. Like she also, a few years ago, Andrew Wildman did like this print of, like when he, like the classic, Marvel Comics issue where they, you know, they had the, like it was issue 75 of Marvel Comics where Unicron attacked Cybertron in the comics. And Andrew Wildman had done this print that was an homage to that. And he did 500 prints and numbered them and signed them and was selling them. And she like contacted him and bought one of those for me and got it framed and everything. And I have that hanging up here. She's gotten art from other artists. You know, just going out of her way to find things that would be just something that I would treasure as being a Transformers fan. So she really does kind of tease me about it sometimes and like, you know, give me a hard time, but she still supports me. So yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more.
There you go. Toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect you tend to struggle with the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already been a theme here is the struggle to actually open and play with my toys and find space for them. So, yeah the struggle of you know, in both enjoying them, but also not letting them overwhelm me and my house. So,
oh boy, yeah, that could be a problem. What is one positive and one negative memory you have with buying toys?
I would say like a positive memory I have is just getting started in the Transmissions podcast, that like really kickstarted me getting into like toy collecting regularly. Like before that, I was buying one or two things here and there, but not really like making a concerted effort to collect anything. But when we started Transmissions, that was something that really, like I was going to the toy store, you know, couple of times a week looking around like when Toys R Us still existed and they had Transformers on the shelves and looking at the Masterpiece toys and things there. I mean, that's seeing, I saw a Masterpiece Soundwave on the shelves and at Toys R Us and I kind of passed on, I looked at it and I was like, and you know, it was, since I'm early in my toy, can I really spend like $100 on this toy? It looks really cool, but I don't know if I can spend that. So I kind of left it there, and then like a couple days later or a week later came back and it was still there. I was like, well, I think you know, I think I got to pick this up. So I did buy it, And then there's another one that I didn't open. That I still haven't bought.
You haven't opened it yet? How long ago was that?
I mean, probably 10 years now. But then I took it to another TFCon where Frank Welker was there, and I got Frank Welker to sign it. So now I can't open this one either.
Wait! Stop! Where did he sign it? Did he sign it on the figure itself or just the box?
On the box. He signed it on the front of the box. Where on?
Okay, if you're careful enough, you could take an X-Acto knife or whatever and open the part of the box that can be opened without screwing up the signature. You'll be fine. Open the damn toy, man. Come on, Dr. Pants. You got to get on him about this one. I'm sorry. I cannot let this go because I need to see your masterpiece Soundwave out of its box, just like I bullied Dr. Pants into buying the Funko Pop 10-inch Soundwave with cassette. I am going to bully you into opening your own masterpiece toy because that's ridiculous. I understand wanting to keep the prestige of Frank Welker's signature, but if opening the box doesn't screw the signature up, you're fine. Open the toy.
All right. I'll take it under consideration. No promises.
I want photographic evidence, damn it. All right. If you could create any toy, what would you want to create? Basically, Hasbro gives you the keys to the kingdom. What would you do?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's funny because I think I like the one thing I would have said was like Transformers Legos, but that already happened. I mean, I would love to have like a like just a full on, you know what? I mean, it's not sensible for our modern age, but I would really like to bring back Gun Megatron. I never had a Gun Megatron. I'd like to bring that back in the toy line. You could call him a submarine. Just turn him upside down. Call him a submarine if you want. let's bring back Gun Megatron and make a whole line of Lego Transformers and like not just Optimus Prime, but like as many characters as we can get together.
Wow. Yeah. That would be cool. I can just imagine it now, a $700 Lego Unicron.
Yeah, you're missing a couple zeros there. I feel a little more expensive.
Most likely, I mean, with all the Legos that they would have to, yeah, kind of. Ooh, ouch, damn. I don't know why, but somebody has really the original G1 Walther P-38. Buy it now for $324. And right next to it, this says Hasbro Takara Transformers G1 for $59 for 33 bids. Like, seriously? Really? Ooh, inbox, 290, yikes. You may not be getting a G1 Megatron. Why? What? Okay, what is the do sellers on eBay not look at sold listings, or is there not a value of certain toys listed out there? What? There is Transformers G1 Megatron boxed, unused, Q-grade this. What the hell? They want $3,500 with $90 shipping. What? I can't. We'll be here all night.
Wow.
Oh my god! You got to be kidding me. And I thought $1,500 for Shattered Glass Rodimus was a lot. What in the Sam hell, eBay? What is one piece of advice you would give the toy collecting phantom in general?
I would say Don't. I don't want to tell other people how to collect, but I think don't obsess over completing things or getting everything. Like enjoy what you can like what you can find or what you have, or and whatever makes you happy, but don't go crazy trying to get everything, because I think that way lies madness.
Yeah, most definitely. This, I don't understand that. I'm so incensed. That's ridiculous, $3,500 for a G1 Megatron. What is advice you'd give to kids who enjoy toys? Don't go on eBay. Stay away from eBay, kids.
I'd say, enjoy your toys, but take care of your toys, because even if as you get older, you might say you don't care about them anymore, but 10 years later, you'll be missing them. So just, you know, play with them, have fun with them, but when you're done, put them back in the box and put them somewhere safe, and don't be so hard on them.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break while I compose myself, because holy shnikes. We'll be back with Big C from Transmissions Podcast right after this. I can't even talk anymore. Right after this, we'll be back. See you later. We'll be back. I don't know.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind. I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny-bong.
Hey, guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Didn't even bend a fender.
Yeah, but look, there are a lot more of those can-digging, grill-cracking things.
We can't hold out forever, Cup, but we can give them one humongous repair bill.
We are back here on ToyCast. All right, sir, promote Transmissions.
Well, I am the co-host of our Transformers theme podcast, Transmissions. We actually do two shows every week. We do Transmissions every Wednesday, which is a show all about Transformers toys and merchandise. And then on Fridays, we do Transmissions Alt Mode, which is a show all about Transformers media. So we tend to do Transformers comic reviews in that show. Of course, at the moment, we don't have any comics to review. But we are recently going back and doing some Earthspark shows. We actually reviewed the first couple of episodes of Earthspark last year in November. And we did episodes 3 and 4 recently. We're probably going to do some more as we wait to see what's happening with the Transformers comics license. But yeah, so those are our main shows. We also have a bi-weekly show that is our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, and that's run by our really awesome producer and editor Mike, and he is the game master and has his friends as different original Transformers characters that are on Cybertron, going through lots of crazy wacky adventures set in the IDW comic universe. So that's a cool show, Empire of Rust. So all of those shows can be found at transmissionspodcast.com. Of course, they're all on every podcasting service you can think of: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, anywhere you find podcasts, you can just search for Transmissions and they're there. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to support us, and that also is at transmissionspodcast.com/support, and you can find that there. We have a Discord, so if you want to just chat, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/discord and come on and hang out with us there. And yeah, we're on all the social media places and everywhere, so lots of places to find us. Just go to our website and all the links are there. You can find us also on YouTube. We are doing, we've since episode 500 of our show, we've moved to doing full video shows, that are, with our podcast. So if you want to watch us on YouTube, you can watch us on YouTube instead of listening to us, or you can do both. I mean, it's, you know, keep our numbers up, help us with downloads and with views on YouTube, you know, whatever you like. But yeah, all those links and everything you can find through our website, transmissionspodcast.com.
There you go. Do you have any final words before I run through our closing?
Just want to say thanks. This was, I didn't get a chance to listen to the other folks' Toy Origin shows, so I thought it was going to be like pretty focused on Transformers, but it was nice to kind of expand things and talk a little bit about just toys in general. So, mm-hmm. Really enjoyed this. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for doing this for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, this show, when we debuted it in 2009, it was originally Transformers Toycast, and the sole thing was Transformers toys. And a few years went by in 2011, Optimus Scourge, Gary Clark, he passed away. And he, along with Proto Man, along with a couple other buddies of mine, we started this show. And it's like, dude died. I don't know if I kept the show going up until 2014. And I'm just like, nope, I'm done. I had already sold all my Transformers toys. I was out of everything. And two, three years ago, whenever the hell 2021 was, my buddy Josh said, "Hey, I have an idea." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I have built-in audience already. They may be, you know, a little cobwebby and dusty, but you know, I can dust this off, and we can. It's already built. No work of needing to start a new show. We can just bring back the old one." So, Consolidation, folks. That's the name of the game. All right. Thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. And Spotify has star ratings. I like Spotify as a listening platform, but I don't understand why they have star ratings for podcasts but no actual review. So it is what it is. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at TF Toycast for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. I know the show has a Twitter, but did you want to give out your Twitter at all?
Sure. I am at CP Shelton on Twitter. I don't post a whole lot, but you can find me there and send a message if you want.
Billionaires. Gotta hate them. Oh, boy. It was a cesspool in 2014. A billionaire buying it isn't going to make it any worse. Become a fan on Facebook at facebook.com/GeekCast Radio Network. You can also check out TF Toycast over there, as well as Transmissions. Next time on Toycast, I believe we're going to have Robo Apollo. She is going to do her Toycast Origins. So for now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Big C, Charles, a.k.a. Big C from Transmissions.
Join us next time, and we'll be talking more toys here on Toycast.
Till all are one.
Yay. All right, give me a second. What are you laughing at now? Okay, you can go look at that stupid link. Oh, God. I don't understand why. It makes no sense.
No,
it
yeah,
really
that's
makes.
That's really out. I mean, I don't expect him to get. I mean, he's not going to get $3,500 for that.
He's not going to get $500, maybe $500 for that, but I don't understand that.
Why throw away your life so recklessly?
Yeah, I just, like a sucker, I just played with my toys. Terrible, I know.